You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are Talking
While Married.
Well, you know, you can always tell when Dr. Ron and Linda are on the road, okay? Because you're probably going to hear a little bit ambient noise from time to time during the show, because we are actually doing the live show in the RV, and we've made the trek from Texas to Calisuela, and we're in sunny Pismo Beach.
Yep, and it's beautiful weather and a beautiful place. And you know, something about Pismo Beach was, as I was growing up, they have the sand dunes in Pismo Beach, and my family would go camp on the sand dunes, and it was great fun. And I just learned that, of course, with their new government restrictions and, you know, how they want to just not let you do anything that's fun anymore, they're going to actually be closing the sand dunes to those kinds of activities anymore.
Well, the California Coastal Commission, which is extremely restrictive, and boy, have I got some stories about them, they've decided that the snowy plover, is that what it's called? Plover.
The
snowy plover, which is a bird that's about 2.5 inches long or high, and darts in and out of, you know, the water, and it's looking for little tiny hermit crabs, little tiny things that wash up on the shore, and it eats those, and it flies in and out all the time. That bird is being harassed by vehicles on the beach. And of course, it's not only Pismo Beach, but it's like Oceano, which is the next town. There is a big local fight going on to preserve people's right to drive on the beach. Hey, we paid for these beaches.
Yes, we absolutely do. And you know what? That little bird is not indigenous to this extremely small area where the dunes are. It might live there. It might do whatever, eat there, whatever. But it's other places. It's not going to end this bird's existence to have people be on the beach here.
No, you know, not whatsoever. And so let me talk about the California Coastal Commission and tell you the hypocrisy with these very uber liberal, you know, so-called environmentalist organizations. So I have a contract with one of the coastal towns, okay? And in this coastal town, they've got a harbor patrol. And I do work for the harbor patrol. And so, and I'm the security consultant for this port. And so all they wanted to, and I didn't share this with you, Linda, but all they wanted to do is they wanted to put in a new dock. All right, now the dock, the pier, which you and I have walked on a million times, the pier is already there. It's, you know, it's been around in one stage or another since the late 1880s. Of course, it's a newer pier now, but all they wanted to do is sink two metal pylons, 2 2-foot in diameter metal pylons through the water into the beach.
The
beach, you know. And so when they did that, and what do they want to do is they want to put an extension to the pier to put a harbor patrol boat there for safety. Okay, so and that harbor patrol boat is there for safety and an aquatic management of wildlife. So it's a very good thing. The Coastal Commission went berserk over that. Two small pylons, a total of 4 feet in diameter, and they wanted to make sure it didn't disturb the eel grass that was down in the water. Okay.
Do you know what's funny about that? Just as an aside, I have spent the week walking the dog on the beach, and there is so much eel grass on that beach that comes up naturally. I mean, every single day, the beach is full of seaweed and eel grass and all these different things. It's not like a 4-foot post is going to make any difference, or a 2-foot post is going to make any difference.
And by the way, there is so much eel grass, like you say, that's washed up on the beach. There's a ton of eel grass. So what they did is they brought in a whole army of trucks and divers and marine biologists to make sure that this could be replaced, the eelgrass. So 4 foot in diameters worth of eelgrass in an entire harbor. They want to make sure that that's replaced. However, over the last couple of years, they've had a complete invasion of homeless people in a particular area on the rocks in this harbor. And they have had about 300 or more homeless people in cars, in vans, and building with plywood and whatever the heck you can get together, and parks, and no bathrooms. And they recently chased them out, multi-agency, but it took them about 2 to 3 years to chase them out of this beautiful, pristine, ecologically beautiful location that was totally ravaged. Okay, tons and tons of trash and feces and urine and needles and condoms and you name it, some of the most horrible, ugly stuff you've ever seen in your life. Not one time did the Coastal Commission intervene. Not one time did the local Sierra Club intervene. Not one time did any environmental group intervene. But yet, you displace 4 square feet of eelgrass and immediately you get pounced on, and immediately an army of marine biologists come out to make sure that that is replaced.
You know, it always seems to me that our government agencies from top to bottom, from local to federal, and everything in between, always have their priorities misplaced. So they miss the big pictures and they focus on these little bitty things and they spend an inordinate amount of our money. Okay, it's our money that we are paying in taxes. And by the way, just today, I received a new tax list for California. So all over California, they have raised your sales tax effective right away. And you are going to be paying on every single purchase that you make more money. So where Joe Biden said that people of below a certain income amount would not be paying more taxes, you will be paying more taxes. And this is in California. I'm sure it's in many other states as well. I just happened to get the California one today, but that is a tax. And so that was a lie. You will be paying more taxes, and that affects every person regardless of their income. You know, it's just not the truth what we're being told. And in fact, also inflation has risen incredibly, which I do want to talk with you, Ron, about in a few minutes, because there's some great numbers on that. And it's expected to rise exponentially in the next month or so.
But, you know, using the Biden administration term, circle back.
Yeah. Okay.
I want to circle back to our trip from Texas to California and talk about some of the things that we saw, many, many beautiful, wondrous things on our trip through flyover country. But then I want to talk about the hypocrisy that we saw with regards to what is happening with the removal of America as an independent energy
producer.
Yeah,
the new Green Deal type of stuff. You know, we took a different route this time because we were kind of tired of taking the 10 from Texas to California. And also because we were headed to Central California rather than Southern California, we thought, you know, let's get some new scenery in. Let's see some places and things that we've never been able to see. We took the 40, but before we got to the 40, because actually the 40 is not the longest part of what we did.
No.
You know, we went kind of a convoluted route from Texas up the 83 to the this and that. I don't even remember all the numbers.
Quite a few side roads that we took.
Yeah. And we went through some wonderful places. San Angelo was one that was a cool place to go through. And, you know, just on the start of our journey, rather than going east to west, which is a straight shot down the 10, We went north. We actually went northwest and went through different parts of Texas. So we hit the kind of the farmlands of Texas, the ranch lands and the farmlands, which are distinctly different one from the other. One is cattle, one is growing things.
Well, one is grown grain.
Yeah.
So we're going through wheat fields and barley fields. There's a lot of alfalfa. We're going through alfalfa. Of course, they use alfalfa as a feed, right? But we went through some of the, we went through some pecan ranches because that's the one of the Texas nuts is the pecan. And so we went through that area. And what was really interesting to see is how we've been told that energy cannot be harmonious with the land.
Yes.
Right. And we took a lot of pictures. And what we saw was that that is a bunch of bunk, because the pipeline, we went through pipeline areas, which was a very, very small footprint.
You don't even notice the pipeline.
You really don't.
It just blends into the communities. Yeah. There's nothing outstanding about it. There's nothing that there's a big, red arrow pointing to, oh, here's the pipeline. You'd have to pay attention to even see it.
Exactly. And of course, we're referring to the Keystone Pipeline. And so if you were driving on the roadway and you passed where the Keystone Pipeline were, unless you were really paying attention, you would not know that. And as a matter of fact, from one side of the pipeline to the other side, and of course they have to cut a swath, put the pipeline in the middle, right? Most of it is underground, and all you see are the substations of the pipeline. But so that they can get in and work on the pipeline if they need to, it's only about 100 yards. Some places it's like 80 yards. And by the way, most of the places where the pipeline goes is really through more sagebrush and more, arid areas. But when it does go through the farmland areas, it's underground. And other than an occasional substation, you don't see the pipeline at all. It's pristine.
Well, when you drive through these areas of Texas, it's just breathtakingly beautiful and peaceful. We're not on a huge highway. We're kind of on the byways.
We're on a two-lane country road.
Yeah. And the land just stretches forever to the eye. So whether it be ranchland or farmland, you will see oil wells on that land. And it's just the cattle graze right around it. They're fine. The farms, the crops grow right around it. They just blend right in. There's nothing obtrusive about it. There's nothing that's, that says there's some big oil spill area around it. They just operate right in the middle of things. And it's really fascinating. On the other hand, if you look and, hey, look it up, go online and look up a lithium mine and see what the New Green Deal wants to give you. It is destructive. It is dirty. It is
deep.
It's deep.
They are huge.
Yeah. And you cannot really reclaim that land. We are not, with the oil wells, taking any land and, making a mess of it like the lithium mines do.
No, actually, when you go through, and I think probably many of our listeners and our friends and followers have probably done the same thing through flyover country, and you'll see like where there is an oil well or an oil pump, and those are the things that kind of look like a seesaw, the oil pumps or the seesaws, you may see something that is no bigger than 20 yards by 20 yards, right? I mean, that's pretty simple.
They're small.
Not 20 yards by 20 yards, and they're fenced off. And then, the crops are growing right up to them. The cattle are grazing right up to them. And that's really all you have. And then once they put the pipeline through that area is not fenced off. You know, when it goes through ranch land, when it goes through, cattle land, when it goes through fields of wheat and things like that, there aren't any fences. You could just drive right up to it. You could drive over it if you wanted to. Of course, you're going to be on, you know, private property or something. But you can't even tell it's there. Now, Linda, the other thing, and I'm glad you brought up St. Angelo's, because what have they got out in that area? And we saw a tremendous amount of that, especially if you take the 10 coming into California, you go through Palm Springs, you know, Desert Hot Springs and places like that, is hundreds and hundreds of these ginormous wind turbines that are produced in China. So, you know, Linda, let's talk about that for a little bit.
Well, I actually don't know where they're produced. Are they produced in China? I know that the solar panels are.
No, well, the solar panels are produced in China, but the engines, the generators, because so you got these gigantic, you know, picture 100-foot propeller blades, because that's what you got up there. You got a wind turbine. It's a propeller. It's wind powered. You know, it points in the direction of whichever the direction the wind is going, and they rotate around and feed the generator, and the generator develops electricity, and it's fed to a giant energy station, and then the energy then is transported to homes, and that's how it works. But the turbine engines, I believe, are all produced in China. We do not, to my knowledge, we do not produce those turbine engines, those generators.
Well, the thing about the wind turbines that I noticed when we were driving, and they're not just in Texas, they were in pretty much all the states that we passed through. More than ever, there were a lot in Mojave Desert. And, you know, it was, I called it as we drove, Ron, I called it a blight on the entire landscape, because that's what it looked like. It's like you take these beautiful mountainous areas and you fill them with these wind turbines, and it just looks like a big blight. Now, when they no longer work, then they have to be buried. And that is the issue. How do you expect these thousands and thousands and thousands of wind turbines that we have put all over the country to be buried in the ground? And you don't think that that's going to hurt the ground more than these oil wells will hurt the ground?
And Linda, the reason that they're buried in the ground is because they're not made out of metal. So they're not made out of lightweight aluminum or something like this. They're made out of carbon fiber. And so they do not degrade. And there are several places in the United States which are graveyards for the broken, no longer functional wind turbines. And so I don't know what they do with the gigantic pole. They can probably melt that down. But with regards to the giant 100-foot by 6-foot propeller blades, those are all buried in the ground.
Yeah, I mean, that just doesn't seem like anything that's good for the environment. And, you know, we talk about this a lot, and we're fortunate enough to travel. And it's not really so much that we're fortunate enough, it's that we make the effort to see the country. We've really made a concerted effort to drive around the United States as often as works for us and our businesses, and see what's out there. And I have to say, what they call the flyover states are absolutely God's country, the most beautiful places to go through. I mean, it's a lifestyle that I love and that I admire, and that just is, it's an apple pie, you know, American, and everything about it is American. And then when you get into some of the cities, it's a mess. Now, but then we also kept driving, and we went through Nevada right by the solar station, where off of Highway 13.
They're giant solar farms, and they're pretty close to
Barstow, Baker.
Yeah, to Baker. And so and before that, so they call it State Line. So the state line between California and Nevada, and when you go through the 15, especially as you're coming into Vegas or you're leaving Vegas, you see these gigantic hundreds of acres of solar panels. It's called a solar farm. And they have these projectors. And one of the things that is terrible about that, now, by the way, I'm totally in favor of solar energy. I don't have a problem with solar energy at all, the concept of solar energy. I have a problem with how we do it. And I just wanted to share this, with you, Linda, and our friends and our listeners. So don't forget, the United States, by and far, does not produce these solar panels. Okay, remember Solyndra? Was that what it was called? Solyndra?
Solyndra.
Solyndra. So going back in the Obama administration, they gave the company Solyndra about $2.5 billion to produce these solar panels, and the company went bankrupt. All right. So primarily, the Chinese produce these solar panels, and then they're shipped to the United States. And of course, we put them in these gigantic, you put them on your house in California. They just passed the law last year where all new houses have to have solar panels. They have to have solar energy. If you sell a house and another person buys that house, I believe you also have to put solar panels. I could be wrong, but I think because then they call it a new house again, you've got
Well,
to
it's
have
not a new
solar
house,
panels.
but
Well, you know what
I
I
don't
mean.
know what the
But
law is
anyway,
there.
but here's one of the problems. What happens, Linda, when the solar panel is no longer functional? You can't recycle the solar panel. So what are you going to do with it? You've got to bury it in the ground.
So
You
you
can't
bury
burn it. You
both of
can't,
those
yeah,
things? Yeah.
you can't burn it. You can't crunch it up. It's still going to be these solar particles that don't degrade. They're not biodegradable. But the other thing is, whether it's the wind energy or the solar energy, we lose countless birds. We lose countless birds. Most of them are raptors. So they are flying over the solar area and they become incinerated.
Yes.
They fly through the wind turbine fields and they get smacked by the propellers. While at the same time, you started our conversation by talking about how the California Coastal Commission wants to get rid of people driving on the sand at Pismo Beach in Oceana because we are harassing the snowy plover bird, of which none of them have ever been run over by a car. Okay, but yet we are killing tens of thousands of waterfowl and raptor every single year with solar energy and wind
Oh,
energy.
absolutely. And what I saw with my own eyes was these little oil drilling, oil derricks, whatever you call them. They're not derricks, but the little what things,
Pumps, pumping
pumps. Yeah,
stations.
those. They were just so innocuous in the environment. They
Didn't make any noise.
didn't make any noise. It didn't ruin the landscape. It was there was one here, one there. There was not a zillion in a row, and life was going on all around it safely, and it just really was kind of smacked me in the face with how ridiculous we are being and how wrong we are being, and you really have to wonder if the people that are making these asinine rules about, the Green New Deal, Joe Biden and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Did you ever go to the middle of America? Did you ever see how these things work and the toll it takes on our wildlife and the toll a lithium mine takes on our environment? It's horrible. I would like to go back to nuclear energy. I felt that that was cleaner and safer than almost anything that we do.
So, exactly where we are on the California Central Coast, and we're really close to San Luis Obispo, and we have the PG&E nuclear power plant. It's called Diablo Canyon, which has been shut down. To the south of us, in Orange County, we have the San Onofre plant, nuclear power plant. And so little by little, they are shutting down all of these nuclear power plants. And one of the plants that they are talking about producing, Linda, is a lithium battery power plant. So let me talk to you about lithium batteries. If a lithium battery catches fire, all the fumes from the lithium battery can kill you. Can kill you. They are not protected anywhere near shape or form the way a nuclear power plant is protected. These cars that are driving around with lithium batteries, these Tesla cars and cars like that with lithium batteries, if those vehicles catch fire, the fire responders, the firefighters, and anybody that's around that fire, they could be killed from the fumes of the lithium battery, which is extremely difficult to put out. And what we're going to have to do is spend a little bit more time with our son and firefighter, Rudy, to find out more about this serious hazmat.
Yeah, because the first thing I think of is the batteries that we carry around to power our telephones, and everybody brings them on airplanes. You know, what if they start on fire on the airplane or in the cargo hold of an airplane?
Well, and that's why they, when you go through TSA, if you have those portable batteries right there looking for those lithium, you know, power batteries, and they want you to put it someplace else. Right?
No, we take them out of our bag, and they've never stopped us for any of those types of batteries.
Well, I think some places they do. But anyway, let's just go back to what is happening with us really quick. And so the Green New Deal, these environmentalists are removing America. They're removing America from being the, you know, a self-producing energy provider. So now they are shutting down the Keystone. They've shut down the Keystone pipeline. They shut down the other pipeline. I forget the name of it, comes from through the Dakotas and comes down here.
But they approved Russia's pipeline.
But they approved, can you imagine that? They approved Russia's pipeline. And so look at what has happened since the Biden administration took office, just with gas, Linda, just with gas. When the average, when Biden was elected president, just before, when Trump was still president, it was average price of gas in the United States, $1.95. Now it's about $3.25. Went from a dollar.
Wow, that's a lot of difference.
Right. So look at what's going on there.
Well, and what we saw, Ron, all the way across Texas, New Mexico, we saw small town after small town that were little tiny oil towns. They're all over. They dot Texas everywhere. They dot New Mexico. And they just were drying up again. It was so sad because the people in those towns, they can't sell their homes because the town is dying. So the businesses are, for the most part, dead. And now you have people kind of stuck in their homes with no businesses anymore because they can't survive, you know, by having a small business. So the pandemic and then shutting off their oil again has basically just turned these almost into ghost towns. But you have lots of good people who are kind of stuck with having their house. They can't sell it, so they can't move. And it's a catch-22 for them. And it's just heartbreaking to see because these are just little pieces of Americana that are withering away.
I know you're exactly right. And, you know, I spent some time taking a lot of photographs, and especially when we went from Texas into New Mexico, because, you know, I'm still doing background on my third book, Border Justice, right? So that takes place in New Mexico. So I was very, very interested in getting some of that background information in New Mexico. And of course, we also went through Navajo territory going from New Mexico into Arizona. And so we did spend time, you know, passing through reservations. And, you know, a lot of these reservations are also very impoverished areas. So we've taken the flyover America and Americans, and we've impoverished them when there's no need to. America needs to be independent with regards to energy production. We cannot be reliant on people that don't share our values and people that are our bitter rivals, such as Venezuela, people that don't share our values, such as Saudi Arabia. We don't need to do that. And at the same time, you know, Biden is enhancing Russia, who is an enemy of the United States, an adversary of the United States, and he is advancing China, which is an enemy of the United States, is certainly a very serious adversary of the United States. And corporations are doubling down and doing more and more business with the country that brought us the Wuhan virus. How about our first cup of coffee?
I am ready.
AmericaOutloud.com. Simply put, we're patriots who believe in Ronald Reagan's vision of a shining city on a hill. From sea to shining sea, you can listen in on iHeartRadio. Our free apps are on Apple, Android, or Alexa, or our world-class media player. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
This is Dr. Ron Martinelli, co-host of Talking While Married. If you enjoy a good fiction detective thriller series with accurate true life investigative techniques and a contemporary Western theme, I hope that you'll try out my new series, Wade Justice, Texas Ranger. The first two books of a multi-book series are already out to great reviews, Absolute Justice and Justice for All. Join retired Texas Ranger Wade Justice as he hunts down a serial killer in Nashville in Absolute Justice, and then follow him through the dark streets of Florence, Italy, as he tracks international terrorists who are plotting to kill the Italian president and murder thousands of Italians in the fast-paced and exciting sequel, Justice for All. My Wade Justice series is available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and on Apple, with personalized and autographed books available on our special website, wadejustice.com. That's WADEJUSTUS.com. Get your copies today.
Because of COVID-19, the average American worries about their immune health four times a day. That's 112 times per year. To minimize the worries, leading nutritional supplement company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost, an immune supplement that contains 15 full doses of science-backed nutrients like vitamin C, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea, all in a one-a-day pill-free gel pack. It tastes great, is convenient on the go, and it's more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Supporting a strong and resilient immune system can be simple. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Immune Super Boost. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
You know, you mentioned something that kind of got me thinking while we got our coffee about the prices of things since Joe Biden has been president, and he's been president a very short time. So the things that have happened, you know, when he talks about no new taxes for people and we're not going to be paying more, well, we are paying so very much more, and for lots of reasons, but I'm putting it straightly in the lap of Joe Biden. So here's just some examples, Ron. Are you sitting down? Put your seatbelt on, because I'm going to give you some figures that are going to stun you right now.
I'm ready, Miss Linda.
Okay. So lumber, which you've heard all about. I mean, I know in Texas, I'm sure a lot of other places, they can't even build a new home because they cannot get the lumber. And they cannot estimate the price of the new home accurately because the price of lumber is going up so fast.
Yeah, let me take a shot at that, because as you know, with our new office, we are building a deck onto the new office, and it's a Trex deck. And what I had to do is get my contractor to locate the Trex deck right now because it's hard to find. And then number two, let's get a firm price on the Trex deck, and let's write him a check today, because the Trex check could go up another 25-30% during the next month.
Yeah, and I think Trex is a synthetic, so I'm not even
sure. But it's got wood. It's a synthetic, but it does have real wood in it. But it's all kind of like mixed together. You know?
Okay. Well, I know that our friends were looking for a house, and we went with them to see some new houses. And they said, we can't even sell anything. We have the models here. We have the land. But we can't get the products to build the houses. So really an interesting time. So they call it Bidenomics, which has absolutely, you know, crushed the consumer in America. So just talking about lumber, 1,000 feet of lumber board in 2020 was $304. Today, it's $1,500.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
A 500% increase.
And anybody that's bought a half inch 4x8 sheet of plywood, remember how we used to pay about 12, you know, to 15 bucks for that? It's like $96 to $110, depending on whether you buy it at Home Depot or whether you buy it at Lowe's. That is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I noticed you scavengering at our son's house when you found some wood in his driveway. All of a sudden, it was in the back of the car.
Because we're building a birdhouse stand. And I'm telling you what, he had some extra 4x4. And all of a sudden, that was gone and in my car.
Well, and you already mentioned gas, which has gone up, you know, from $1.95 average to $3.05. And, you know, that's a big deal. That's everybody's pocket. I don't care who you are, what kind of job you have, low income, high income, everybody gets to pay that same amount for gas. So that is a huge increase for people. A ton of wheat was $183 in 2020. It's now $251. A ton of coal was $39 in 2020. It is now $80. And they want to make it even worse than that because they keep blocking people now from even having coal mines and working, where Biden promised he was not going to shut that down. And the first thing he did was go ahead and start the process of shutting that down, which is going to devastate more towns up in Pennsylvania and those areas.
And don't forget, with regards to energy, they are slowly but surely getting rid of fossil fuel plants, coal, fossil fuel plants, and trying to replace them with lithium battery plants. And we just talked about that.
Talk about a blight on our environment. I just can't even imagine. A bushel of corn. So many things that we use in our lives that we eat, that we use for fuels, that we use to feed our livestock is from corn. And corn has doubled from $3.43 a bushel to $6.86. So those are just some things. Now you extrapolate, say just that corn, you extrapolate the price increase for people to get corn for any and everything that it's used for, corn oil. You know, you name it, Ron, there's so many things. And every single product that uses corn is going to go up.
And don't forget that we use corn in ethanol-based fuels, yes, like gasoline.
Yes.
And especially in California, you got to have an ethanol-based fuel, right? So, I mean, this whole thing reminds me, and Linda, you and I are the age where we grew up as adults under Jimmy Carter, right? We had, you know, me, I was right after Nixon. And we were just getting out of college or going into just our professional work. Me, during Jimmy Carter, I had recently graduated from the university, and I was teaching high school, middle school and high school under Jimmy Carter as a brand new young buck, right? Brand new teacher. And we were dealing with inflation. And I know you're going to talk about that. But that's what all of this is. All of these price increases are inflation. And that is what some of the people in the Trump administration, the economic advisors, were warning during the election process. If you elected Joe Biden, you elected the progressive left, you were going to see from Larry Kudlow, for instance, we're warning against serious rises in inflation. And that is everything that you are talking about right now. And I have got to tell you, it was pretty damn difficult to make a living during the Carter administration.
Yeah, it was. I remember sitting in those gas lines, even in odd days.
I'm glad you remember the gas lines.
Hours, sure. Anyway, you know, and speaking of gas, that rise in gas prices makes all of our transportation costs go up. So all of the freight that comes across this country in trucks is going to, well, the gas has, it's not quite doubled, but it's close. It's getting there. And so that's going to make all of the freight that brings everything that you use, everything that you buy in a Walmart, everything that you buy in any store, that shipping cost is going to be more. All the fuel for the boats that come across the ocean, all the fuel for the airplanes. So everything that went up is going to affect everything else to go up. And then when those things go up, that comes straight out of everybody's pocket. It doesn't discriminate by how much money that you bring in your household.
And so let me talk globally with regards to the United States of America and how I have talked for so long about the neo-national socialists and Marxists working so hard to bring about a two-tiered society where the middle class is completely removed from the equation and the new paradigm is people with money and people with no money, all right? And that's what we're getting here, because people with money can accept, they'll complain about it, but they can pay for these increases in inflation, right? They can pay for the fuel increases. They can pay for the food increases. They can pay for the lumber increases and all of that, but not the lower middle class and not the people that are at the poverty line.
Right.
They can't pay for those things.
So when they say, when they falsely say that the lower income and the middle income are not going to pay one penny more, it's already a lie. Already a lie. They're already paying more. You know, you take something like lumber, and that has gone up 500%. But you have to extrapolate that to everything that a tree does, Ron. So what does it do? It makes paper. Paper is what your kids you write on in school. Paper is something you use every single day. Sitting in front of you right now is a pad of paper.
Yeah, and all your photocopying is done on what?
Exactly.
Paper.
All your printing, all your printed goods, all of your label material.
All the crap we get in the mailbox for two people. I've never seen so much crap.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all made with paper.
Right. And every product that you buy is made out of, every product that you buy has a box or a label. All of that is paper. So every single thing that you buy has to go up, because when those costs go up of packaging the products that you buy, then the price has to go up. So this is not a small deal. This is a huge deal, these price increases. And, you know, I mean, people really need to think. This is why people need to think ahead before they check that ballot box, because these are the consequences of voting for a progressive like Joe Biden, who doesn't want you to have all of these things that we have in our life. And now you're going to pay for more for them. You're going to go to Starbucks and get a cup of coffee. That coffee cup is going to cost them five times as much. Okay, therefore, the cup alone, which might only cost them a couple of cents right now, so if it cost them five times, maybe it now will cost them 7 or 10 cents a cup. That is coming out of your pocket.
And you know, you're absolutely right. And of course, again, let's go back to the Carter administration, because I see, and I'm not the first person to say this, I see Joe Biden as being Jimmy Carter 2.0. in many areas, both national policy and international policy. And I'm not so sure, and I think a lot of other people are not so sure, that Joe Biden is even the real acting president of the United States. You know, it could be Kamala Harris. It could be Susan Rice. It could be a combination of Susan Rice, Barack Obama, and Kamala Harris. but it certainly isn't Joe Biden.
No, because, he doesn't have the cognitive. Tell,
did you see that he just got canceled from, I think it was Notre Dame. He's not even giving the speech. You canceled the president of the United States from giving the graduation speech.
I'm proud of Notre Dame for doing I actually am. Hey, I want to talk about something else that I thought was really interesting. This was a thing that was on Facebook, and I'm not a Facebook person because I resent the canceling of conservatives on all of social media. But this was really cute. It was posted by a conservative, and people may have seen it, but I have to bring it up because I just loved it. And the story is about this older lady that went to the grocery store to buy some groceries, and you get to the register and they say, well, you should bring your own grocery bag because plastic bags are not good for the environment. And she apologized, the lady apologized, and she said that we didn't have this green thing back in our day. And the clerk told her, young girl, and she says, well, that's the problem. Your generation didn't care enough to save our environment for future generations. And the older lady said, you know, you're right about that. We didn't have the green thing. So back then, we returned milk bottles, soda bottles, beer bottles to the store.
Because they were made of glass.
Yes. And the store sent them back to the plant to be washed and sterilized and refilled so it could use the same bottles over and over. So really, they were recycled, right? I mean, way back in the day, we got milk on our front porch, and we always saved the bottles and we brought them back to the store. We got a few cents each back.
And by the way, we did not go to the store to buy milk. Like you said, the milkman, that's where that term came from.
He brought
it. The milkman had the milk truck, and he would have the, you know, the metal carrying container, and it would have a bunch of different quarts of milk. And you would have, order. You'd put your order out on your porch, and the milkman would read your order, and he'd pull out the milk bottles, put them on your porch. And some of us had, I know my parents had, they had a aluminum, a box, right? Which was a box that you could, it had some ice. It actually had a block of ice in it. And you could put the milk in there and it would stay cold. And when your parents came home from work or whatever, you could pull them out of there and you'd have milk.
Yeah. Well, this lady went on to explain to this young girl that back in her day, they didn't have the green thing. So they bagged their groceries in brown paper bags that they reused for numerous things. If you remember, we used to cover our school books with brown paper bags, cut them up and cover them.
Put our names on them, put the name of the book
on there. Exactly. So we didn't damage the books. And so besides using them for household garbage bags, you know, we did the book covers and we used to use them for different things. And then she continued on and she said, and we walked upstairs because we didn't have an escalator in every store and office building. We walked to the grocery stores. We didn't climb into a 300 horsepower machine every time we had to go two blocks. Joe Biden does it for a few steps from the helicopter to the White House. These were all savings things that our generation did. So when we're criticized, it's again, you know, it's fake news. There are things that maybe we did that weren't good, but we did a lot of good, really a lot of good recycling. Then we washed babies' diapers. We didn't have plastic diapers. And the biggest thing in landfills is diapers.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
And you know, the other thing, and people are doing it more now, we were just, you know, talking to our son that got some hand-me-down clothes for our brand new little grandbaby, Jake. We would hand clothes down.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, from, you know, the son to daughter to, you know, new people to friends, relatives would, and neighbors would all contribute. You know, we knew how old and how big our kids were. And we would, you know, between our neighbors and our relatives and everything like that, we would, you know, trade clothes around.
Yep.
Right.
Well,
we didn't go out and buy all these clothes like these people do today.
No. And this lady went on to explain that besides washing the baby's diapers, we dried our clothes on a clothesline. So we really did use wind and solar energy ourselves then. We didn't use a 220 volt dryer, taking a lot of power to do that. And again, the kids got hand-me-down clothes. And we had, back in those days, we had one TV or radio in the house. We didn't have six of them in every room.
And everybody gathered around them.
Yeah. And we spent together time. You know, we didn't have these TVs that are, you know, 6 feet wide. And
we didn't all have iPads, and we didn't all have, you know, so we didn't have any of this stuff.
And we didn't use blenders to stir things. We used our hands or a fork or, you know,
what do you call it?
Yeah, I don't even remember, but I still have one, the rotary blender. The hand rotary. And, you know, the kids rode their bikes. They rode streetcars. They now, you know, the parents are 24-hour taxi cabs for their kids. They're in a $45,000-$50,000 SUV. You know, we didn't have rooms full of sockets to power all kinds of things. You know, we didn't need computers and signals beamed from satellites that are thousands of miles out in space. We weren't a wasteful generation, is my point. And, you know, it took me back remembering these things that I had really forgotten, because we are accused of causing the problem. And, you know, I'm not buying it, because, I mean, diapers really were a wonderful thing when they were invented, as far as, you know, just the throwaways, but they are a detriment.
Can you imagine the kids today cleaning dirty, poopy diapers in a sink? Actually, we would start them off in the toilet, right? We'd dump them into the toilet. And then once most of the poop was out, right, what are we doing? You know, we're picking it up and putting it in the sink and washing it again, and then, you know, sticking it in the washing machine and washing it again. But can you imagine how much all these diapers cost? And I mean, it's just as easy to put the other diapers on.
Packaging, you know, all of those things come into play, and that they have, you know, the kind of the plastic on them, so the water doesn't go through. You know, she also pointed out, this lady rightfully pointed out, that we didn't use styrofoam or plastic bubble wrap. We used more like old newspapers to wrap things in. We had push mowers, so we didn't have to fire up a gas burning mower.
We never had coffee pods.
Right? No, we didn't have coffee pods.
And by the way, I read an article where the guy that invented the coffee pod regretted that.
Right.
He said he wished he had never done that. But you don't have to use a coffee pod, because, you know, they have the little tiny coffee pods where you pour coffee into it.
Sure.
It's a screened coffee pod. And it does the same thing. It's just not as convenient as grabbing a case of Keurig coffee pods.
And we're all about using that. Convenience, aren't
right.
we? So
we use percolators.
Complaints. Yeah. we didn't have, you know, so we did push mowers at the time. We drank from fountains. We didn't use all these water bottles and throw them away. We refilled writing pens with ink instead of buying new pens. We replaced the razor blade in a razor instead of throwing the whole razor away and just getting a whole pack of them, like, you know, 24 razors. You know, these are all things that we could still do today if we weren't so darn lazy. I mean, we've gotten to be a very lazy society. And I would rather do these things than have them take my fossil fuels away and replace it with these things that are so much more damaging to our environment. We are being sold a bill of goods about the damage from fossil fuels over the wind and solar and lithium. We are completely going to be ruining our landscapes.
And you know, don't forget that all of these people that are pushing these things, this Green New Deal, the energy czar, John Kerry, who used to be Secretary of State under Barack Obama. These people have their own rules. They live in a bubble. They have, you know, their own private jets. They have their limos. They have this. They make a huge, huge carbon footprint. But yet, they want to restrict us. You know, they want to, we're the little people that don't ever matter. And they really don't care about the environment. No. They don't care about that. They just care about economically enhancing themselves.
Yes.
Every single one of them is a serious hypocrite.
Well, and you look at the solar farm that we just talked about, and Harry Reid is the guy with his family that profited enormously off
hundreds of millions of dollars.
Used his position in government, his elected position, to feather his own nest. And that's what they all do. I have to end this on this note, Ron, because this particular article, because at the end of it, she says, "We don't like being old in the first place, so it doesn't take much to piss us off." Especially from a tattooed, multiple pierced smartass who can't make change without the cash register telling them how much. And I had a laugh because it's so true. It's just so true. So I thought this was a great little article to talk about because I got such a kick out of it. It brought me back to, you know, riding my bike rather than being in the car. My grandfather, until he was over 90 years old, never one day drove a car in his life. What? He rode his bike.
Well, you know what? That is so interesting that you say that. My Italian grandfather, when he moved out to, left the old country and came out with my grandma, that lived in Connecticut, and he was not an educated man. Okay. He was not an educated man. And so he got a job at the local brickyard, and his job was to fire up the kilns. And they lived a mile away, and he walked back and forth to work every single day.
I want to end with one thought, which is totally different than what we've been talking about, but it's going to strike home with you. It didn't start with the gas chambers. It started with one party controlling the media, one party controlling the message, one party deciding what's the truth, one party censoring speech and silencing opposition, one party dividing citizens into us and them and calling on their supporters to harass them. It started when good people turned a blind eye and let it happen.
You know what, Linda? Let's just tell people real quick how they can engage with America Out Loud and Talking While Mary.
Well, you just need to go to AmericaOutLoud.com and visit us. There's articles that are written there that are phenomenal, phenomenal writers. You get the truth. You don't get the fake message. The fake news is not on America Out Loud. And all of the shows are well worth listening to. Dr. Ron and Linda are on every evening, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And my show, Ladies of Liberty Sound Off, is on at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every weekday as well. So please join us, and
we'll see you
on the radio.